Turn back to Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter 24. I titled the message, Felix Trembled. We have before us three persons. We have Felix, the governor, Drusilla, his wife, and Paul, the prisoner. And then we have a message given by the prisoner. Now you would think that the prisoner would give some flattering words to the governor, wouldn't you? You would think that the prisoner, whose life is on the line, Felix, and we know as believers, and we know from reading all this that Paul's life is in the hand of God. But Felix, coming in to take his seat, he fully believes that this man's life is in my hands. And he probably expects Paul, like Tertullus did, give some flattering words, grovel around, and try to get out of this trouble. That's what you would expect. But instead, the prisoner puts the governor on trial. That's what ends up happening. He shoots at the governor's heart. Paul's not concerned. He's really standing here not concerned about his life, but the life of that man and that woman who's sitting in front of him. I believe Paul truly desired their salvation. What could be greater than God to save the president? I mean, truly save the president. The governor of Kentucky. The governor of the other states. Wouldn't it be something if God saved the Congress? If he saved those men, what would this country be like then? What would it be like then? Paul truly desired this man's salvation. Who is Felix? And who is Drusilla? Let me give you just a little bit of history here. Felix was a slave. This man was a slave at one time. But through his cunningness and his willingness to do whatever dirty deed needed to be done, Claudius Caesar, freed him. And this man rose through the ranks. He placated to every whim that Caesar had. And he came up through the ranks, up that corporate ladder, so to speak. He was a wicked man, and he was given to extortion. I mean, this man was given to extortion. And he would do whatever it took to get in Caesar's back pocket. That's who this man is. And Caesar promoted him to governor of Judea. He promoted this slave to governor of Judea. As you see at the end of the chapter, he ended up removing him. He ended up having to be removed. He was such a rotten person that Caesar had to finally remove this man from office. Sooner or later, if you let a snake get close enough, it's going to bite you. Caesar kept him just a little too close, and finally he caused him so much trouble, he finally had to just dethrone this man. Who is Drusilla? She was a Jew. She was a Jewish woman, had Jewish parents. She was the daughter of Herod Agrippa the Great. That's That's who she was. The same one that was eaten by worms back in Acts chapter 12. She's his daughter. That's who she is. And she was the fiancée of Antiochus. But after Herod died, Antiochus, he dropped her. He didn't marry her. He was not going to submit to the Jewish rite of circumcision. And he just dropped her. So after that, she married a king named Azizas. He was king of the Ammonites. But after she married him, Felix came along. And he wooed her away from her husband. And she became Felix's wife. That gives you a little light when Paul stood before these two people. Paul didn't try to tone down his message. He didn't try to just cover a certain just doctrine. Paul preached to their heart. Paul took his message and he made it fit the congregation he's preaching to. That's what he did. So now they come to the judgment seat. They sit down. They call for the prisoner to be brought in. Bring Paul in. Felix and Drusilla are curious to hear about the Messiah. I know her being a Jew, believing that the Messiah is coming, I'm sure that Felix said, you'd be interested to hear this. This man's interesting. I'm sure they found Paul to be interesting, and they thought he would be entertaining. Not convicting. They thought he'd just be entertaining. And so they wanted to hear what Paul had to say. So they take their seats. Paul, in chains, he's brought in, stands before them. He takes his place there, standing before them. As it says here in verse 24, and after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. When Paul began to speak to the governor, how would you speak to a governor? Paul spoke to him of Christ. He spoke to him of faith in Christ. When he began to speak to them, he began to speak of a person named Jesus of Nazareth. Paul did not stand there trying to defend himself. He stood there exalting the name of his Savior, of his Lord. He knew. Paul knew who was in control of this thing. He knew who was in control of what was going on. And he stood there and he preached to them God incarnate. Now you know Felix, being a Roman, he worshipped many gods. He worshipped whatever came down the pike, whatever would help promote his position. That's what he believed. That's what he'd worship. That was Felix. Then Paul began to preach to them this God-man. This God and man in one person. He began to preach, this is the God of Abraham. This is the Lamb. This is the seed of the woman. And Drusilla, being a Jew, she knew what he was talking about. She knew it. This one who was crucified, who was rejected, is the Messiah that we have been waiting on. He's the Messiah that God promised would come. He's come. He has come. The Messiah whom the Jews looked for has come. And he's died. He has come into this world. He lived and he died. I have no doubt he preached to them substitution. The necessity He preached the necessity of this man coming, living, and dying for sinners. He preached to them substitution. The necessity of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ in the place of sinners. And then he preached to them that he's risen. This one who is the Messiah, this one who is the promised Messiah, this one who has come and died, is not dead. He is not dead. He is risen from the dead, and he has ascended back to the Father, and there he sits, ruling and reigning over all. He is the judge over all. Felix, you think you're a judge? This is the judge. This is the judge. And he sits there also, he makes intercession for transgressors, for sinners. And he commands all men everywhere, even you, Felix, and you, Drusilla. He commands all men everywhere to repent and believe on him. And then Paul began to reason, it says here, with him of righteousness, temperance, and judgment. There's three things I think he reasoned with him here. Righteousness, his lack of it, his need of it, and God's provision of it. He reasoned with him of these things. Felix, you are not a righteous man. You're not a good man. This is the prisoner telling the governor, you're not a good man. You're not nearly as good as you think you are. Paul pointed out to Felix that he was an unrighteous man. That he had no righteousness. And no doubt he pointed out his lascivious way of life. I have no doubt that he pointed that out to Felix. You have lived in lasciviousness. You have fulfilled the lust of your flesh on every turn. You've taken advantage of your office. You've taken advantage of your office. You have extorted money from poor widows and the fatherless. You have way overtaxed people. You have taken from people what didn't belong to you at all. Way overtaxed them. You've made yourself rich at the expense of the poor, Felix. Paul points out here who he is. He doesn't generalize. I'm telling you, Paul's not generalizing here in front of this man, this governor. He's telling him who he is. You're an extortioner. That's who you are. He tells him how that as a governor, he has abused his powers. The scripture says, he that rules among men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. Felix, you have abused your powers as a governor. And I have no doubt he tells them that God, the true and living God, the only God there is, has put you in that seat. He's the one who sets up and brings down. He's the one who makes and puts men in positions of power. And he's the one who brings them down. And Felix, God put you there. God made you the governor. And you used it for your gain. Felix, God demands perfect, absolute righteousness. He demands it. He demands perfect righteousness. And he will accept no less. God Almighty will accept nothing less than absolute, perfect righteousness, Felix. And you don't have it. We don't have it either. Unlike the idols, the idol gods that Felix worshipped, who are no gods at all. It's easy to please a God that doesn't exist, doesn't it? That's easy to do. But Felix, I'm talking to you about a God that is. The only God that is. I'm talking about you talking to you, Felix, about the living God and His demand for righteousness. And Felix, you've lived one of the most ungodly lives in Rome, especially considering the position that you're in, taking advantage of it. But Felix, there is a righteousness provided by this man, Jesus Christ, this Nazarene. This man has provided, he has established by his obedience in his life and in his death, he has established a righteousness by which God can save sinners. Felix, there is a righteousness. You don't have it. You can't produce it. But there is one, as established by this man, by his obedience in life and death. And it's reckoned, it's imputed to everyone that believes on him. Paul's driving at his heart. He's telling Felix, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember that jailer said, what must I do to be saved? He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Felix, believe on him. You'll have that righteousness. That's of God. He preached to Felix his lack of righteousness, his need of righteousness, and God's provision of it in his Son. God has provided us with a righteousness that he will accept. And it's to everyone that believes. And then secondly, he drove at his heart here. He spoke to him of temperance. Temperance. That word means self-control. That word means self-discipline. That's what it is. That's what it means. You know, throughout all of Paul's writings, he spoke of mortifying the deeds of the flesh. Because we still have that old man with us. But as we grow in grace and knowledge of Christ, we grow in temperance. We grow in those things. Paul preached to him temperance. And listen, I thought about this last night. Paul did not preach before Felix. He preached to Felix. I thought last night, I don't want to preach before the congregation. I want to preach to the congregation. I think there's a difference. I believe there's a real difference in just preaching before people and preaching to the people. Communicating the gospel to them. And that's what Paul's doing here. He's communicating the gospel to this man. Paul was not worried about what Felix would do to him. Like Pilate, he said to our Lord, don't you know I have the power to crucify you or the power to release you? Paul knew, he knew that Felix couldn't do anything to him unless God allowed it. Let him do it. And he wasn't worried about what Felix was going to do to him. Here's what Paul wrote in one place. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel, whether it be to the governor or to a pauper. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. God's the final judge. God is the last one every man and woman will stand before. He's the last one. Paul also pointed out to Felix and Drusilla, this is a brave message. This is a strong message to these two people. He pointed out to them, you're living a sinful life, a wretched life. Paul pointed out to them, and I believe he did this, he pointed out to them when he spoke to them of righteousness and temperance, that their marriage was nothing but an adulterous affair. That's all it is. Remember, John the Baptist did that. He got put in prison for it. He told Herod, he said, it's not right for you to have your brother's wife. They didn't hold back. They told the truth. You can't, God's not going to save men and women by a lie. You've got to tell the truth.
Got to tell the truth.
And he's Paul saying here that your all marriage is nothing but an adulterous affair. That's all it is. That's all it is. He preached to him righteousness and temperance. When a man is born of God, he becomes temperate in all things. He does. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. The world is known by its lack of temperance. It's known by it. If it feels good, do it. If it looks good, buy it. If it tastes good, eat it. I tell you this. The grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness. That's what Paul wrote to Timothy. The grace of God teaches us to deny ungodliness. That's what it teaches. Then thirdly, Paul winds up his message with judgment. Judgment. As Paul stood before Felix to be judged, Paul lets Felix know that there will be a judgment, that there is coming a judgment that's far greater than this one, Felix. Far greater than this one. And it'll be a just judgment. It'll be a righteous judgment. There won't be a kangaroo court going on. And it won't be left up to the jury. There won't be a jury. It'll be God. It'll be the just and holy God. It'll be the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who He is. I believe Paul pointed out that there was coming a day in which God would judge the world in righteousness by that man, Jesus Christ. He's the righteousness of God's people. But He's also the judge. He's going to be the judge, the Scripture says, of the quick and the dead. This man, Jesus of Nazareth, who is despised and rejected, crucified, He's risen again, He's the judge. Felix, this man's the judge. He's the judge. And every person is going to stand before His judgment seat. Every person. And that message that Felix heard had a real effect on him. Not savingly. Not savingly. But it says Felix trembled. Felix trembled. A man may be totally depraved, but not always totally stupid, because he understood what Paul said. He understood what Paul was saying. He didn't believe it. Not with the faith of God's elect, he didn't believe it. But he understood this, that he has lived a wicked life. And he understood that he had no righteousness. And he understood that there's going to be a judgment. He understood that. He didn't believe it, but he understood it. And the Holy Spirit awakened his conscience. He didn't give him a new heart. Scripture says the devil believes he trembles, doesn't it? He's not saved. Well, here, Felix trembled. He believed what Paul was saying, but he didn't receive it. He wasn't given a new heart to receive it in. He didn't bow to Christ. He didn't fall in love with Christ. The Holy Spirit sent the word in power to Felix, but not in a saving manner. And here's what this shows us. This shows us how dead sinners are. Even with powerful conviction, even with being confronted with truth, Felix couldn't leave his sins. Being totally convinced that what you're saying is true, and he trembled. But he couldn't let go. He could not bow to Christ. He would not bow to Christ. I think he knew the implications of that. He knew the persecution the Christians were suffering. He knew. This man knew he'd have to give up his lascivious way of life, his extortion, and all of that. He knew that. And bow to Christ and fall in love with Christ and follow Christ and get in line with these Christians, these Nazarenes, sect of the Nazarenes. And although he believed what Paul was saying here, he believed what he was saying here, he couldn't let go. He couldn't let go. I tell you, God has to reach in and give a man a new heart, doesn't he? God has to. That's why our Lord said, you must be born again. You must be born again. Because the natural man just cannot let go and fall at his feet and trust him. And then here's his excuse. Go thy way. Paul, go thy way. This is enough. Okay, we'll put an end to this. We've got to put an end to this meeting. I bet you when he probably raised his hand and said, Paul, go thy way. And he's probably just shaking like this. I bet he was just shaking. He says he trembled. He was just trembling. It had such an effect on him. Isn't that like the wayside hearer? In the parable of the sower, you know, you got all those hearers. There's different types of hearers. Well, here's one here. Convinced of it. Believe he's telling the truth. And he stops. He said, go thy way. Stop. Stop. Stop your preaching, Paul. Stop your preaching. When I have a more convenient season, I'll call for you. When it's convenient for me to be saved. When I get a little older and everything seems to die down, I'll call for you. When I need you, if I get in trouble, I'll call for you. I'll call for you and I'll get saved. He never did do that. Not with the interest of hearing more about Christ. He called for him, it says, more often because he hoped to receive some money. You see that extortion coming out there? Paul pointed out, this is who you are. And then he called for Paul more often, trying to get money from him, trying to extort money from him. Blind as a bat. But you know, not too long after this, he committed suicide. Not too long after this, he committed suicide. I imagine after he was dethroned by Nero, Nero dethroned him, he couldn't take not having that power. He couldn't take not having that glory and that say-so and people ooh and ah when he walked around. And he committed suicide. This man took his own life. But Paul, go your way. And when it's convenient for me, I'll call you. Sinners are never saved on their terms or times, are they? Never. Never. The Scripture says, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. What makes a person think that there'll be another time? What makes a person, why would a person think that they would even, that God would even send the gospel to them again? You may die on the way home. I jotted this down yesterday. When is it convenient to be saved? When? Right now. Now. Under the sound of the gospel, the command to believe and repent is right now. There is no tomorrow in preaching the gospel. It's now. Now. Most people think that when they grow older, they will so-called get saved. They'll let the Lord save them. And this has come from today's preaching. Won't you let God save you? Well, not today. Maybe tomorrow or maybe next week. I got some things I would like to do. And this would kind of hamper my style. What I'd like to do. You know, that's Felix. He didn't want to give up what he was doing. He didn't want to give up that lifestyle. He loved it. Loved darkness rather than light. Most want to sow their wild oats when they're young or chase their dreams, and they see the gospel as being contrary to that. Count the cost, our Lord said. He that loves this life will lose it. And they think, well, you know, when it's a little more convenient, then I'll call for you, Paul. People think when they grow older, it'll be more convenient time. They'll have time then to be a Christian, be a believer. But like Felix, that day never comes. Not for most of them. That day never comes. Let me read you Proverbs. I think it's a very sobering message in that portion of Scripture. Over here in Proverbs chapter 1. That's like old, in the next chapter. He preaches to King Agrippa. And he said, there it is, Paul, you know, preaching before another king there, King Agrippa. And he said, Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Well, almost doesn't count, does it? Almost doesn't count. Look in verse 22 of Proverbs chapter 1. Listen to this, and I'll close with this. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof. Turn, he says, turn at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and you refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But you have said it not all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish comes upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early. You see that, people get in trouble. They want to run to the church and make a profession or try to get things right. They shall seek me early, but they'll not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Felix was faced with this. And he loved darkness rather than light. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. They prosper and they think, well, boy, I'm blessed. I must be living right. No, that's no sign you're living right, that's for sure. No sign you're right with God. But whoso hearkens unto me shall dwell safely. Oh, he that comes to me, believes on me, worships me, hearkens to me, that man will dwell safely forever and ever. Really.
and shall be quiet from fear of evil. I'll end it with that.